Welcome to SelfDiscoveryRadio.com, where the discovery of self is put a show away. With 1,000-plus archive shows and new shows coming to you every Tuesday, we bring you illuminating people from around the globe. Visit our store for their services and books, and enjoy the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of For the Love of Music. I am your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest this week is singer, award-winning singer, Jessie Smith. I've heard her music, and I have to be honest, I'm not a country artist. It's not generally something that I really go for. But when I listened to her song, I just found it so upbeat and so inviting, and in such a lovely storytelling way that gets you involved. I have to interview this young lady because she's kind of partially converted me. And I really do like the music that she's got there because it's so alive and it tells a story and it invites you in. And really, that's what music is all about, isn't it? Inviting you in. It's speaking to you on so many levels. It's not just about getting the toes tapping, though that's really, really good. It's about something that speaks to the heart, the spirit, and the soul. And this is certainly kind of the music that she's really got going here. So let's take the journey of Jessie's music and how it all came about. She has a new album coming out in very, very soon now, released here in February, so any moment. And what I love about the way she titles herself, and we've named the show this, is that she does swampy soul music. And I love that. I love it. I love me some soul music, but coming from the swamp, there's just something about it that's really real. So let's get to know her a little more about her journey and also the music that she is doing. Welcome to the show, Jessie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be speaking with you.
Well, music's been kind of in your DNA. It's you, isn't it, right, from a little girl?
Absolutely. Yes. Since I was a kid, I was always a creative, what my parents called a highly sensitive child.
a nice way of putting it.
Dramatic would be another one.
Yes.
I would actually, before bed every night, my parents said I would review the day. And like any emotion I had that day, I would talk about it for a long time and explain it. And then put a rate on it of how good or bad the day was.
That's very healthy, actually. That's extremely healthy.
Thanks. Well, yes, but music has been something that came a little more naturally to me than other things. And my parents put me in piano lessons pretty early. And from there, I saw what I could accomplish in it, and it just clicked really well for me. So that kind of sparked. And since then, I've been a little baby musician ever since.
And, you know, I know that I myself am not musical. I can't play any instruments, but music is something that really speaks to my soul. It's my sanctuary. It's my sanity. Mm-hmm. And it's also my invitation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm envious, you know, of musicians and, you know, the voice and the playing of instruments, because I wish I could. I used to be a dancer, so that was my expression. But when you've got the music in you, that you cannot in any shape, form, or way deny it, can you?
No. One of the things I like to say is some people ask, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing music? And what do you sing? And I only can think to say I sing because I must. Mm. That's it. like it's just one of those. It's one of these things that comes from another world of. There's no words for it. Like, words have only a certain number of things they can do for us. Mm-hmm. But the feeling of oh, I think I need to do that now is. You know, that's a stronger feeling that I still haven't been able to find good words to. And to that point that you'd made about you loving music, and I love how you worded what music is to you. That it was stunning. And what I would say too is my belief is anybody can do it. And I'm actually a vocal coach and a piano teacher. And so if you ever wanted any questions, if you have any questions or anything about it, you just let me know, because I'm big on that. I think it's like anybody can do it.
And I think anybody should, you know, whether you're up there on stage mm-hmm. or in your car or in the shower, I think everybody should burst into song. Because, you know, when you look at the lyrics written down of a song, sometimes they just don't make sense. The moment you put them to music, the rhythm, the tone, the invitation, mm-hmm. suddenly it transcends into an entire language.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What I love about the singing part in particular is that our mouth is this ultimate resonating chamber. And what I'm constantly looking for when I'm singing is a really fast vibration, a certain kind of vibration that feels really good in my mouth. And it's called the sting. And whenever I find that sting is when I know that it is a frequency that will help others, because I really believe that music is healing.
Oh yeah.
And certain frequencies, especially I love sound healing and music therapy and that sort of thing, and the idea that there is certain frequencies that really can heal parts of us, I really believe in. And so I'm always looking for that in how I write and how I sing.
And I think that's, you know, that's why music is such the language of love, the language of truth, the language of honesty. Yeah. You know, it's the expression. You know, I think that, as I said, sometimes we cannot say things in words. But the moment you put on a song, it speaks to what you're trying to say.
Yeah, in every way.
In every way. And, you know, I mean, you talked about the healing tones, you know, and the, you know, the instruments or the tone of the voice. We talk about the tone of the voice in everything you do in life, because your tone, when you say setting the tone, how you set your tone is how people are going to receive you. And if it's harsh or dictatorial or cold, and then, you know, people are going to be off put. If you have a beautiful resonance in your tone, it becomes invitational. And so, you know, the tone isn't just in the music. You are the music in your own life with your tone, aren't you?
Invitational is everything. That word, thank you for saying that. That the idea of why am I doing music, and is it and why am I living, it really comes into, and what meaning am I living for? Because if I'm using either divisive language or I'm doing things that impact it negatively, I'm pushing people away. But when I'm open, or like I guess the other way to say it too is just when I'm closed off, I'm pushing people away. But when I'm open, I welcome people in. And when I'm vulnerable, I welcome people in. And it's the same with singing. It's funny. The more open everything is about, when I teach it, it's about opening up everything. So it's a really easy and open throat passage into the mouth. And the biggest problem that people have when they sing is trapping their voice inside of their mouth. And it's just such a good metaphor for how when we open up, we invite people.
Yeah.
We welcome people in. Yeah.
Well, I always say, you know, inspiration for invitation. And when you inspire people, no matter what you're doing, when you inspire people, you are inviting them to step in.
Yeah.
Their world, your world, to step into something. And, you know, that's, you know, song, you know, a lot of people think music is just all about dancing or noise in the background. And, you know, a lot of music has become that. And, you know, and when I listen to some music, it's just, you know, bah, bah, bah in the background. But when I catch a song that kind of has me listening or has me feeling, then I know I want to know more. You know, I want to hear more from this person.
Yeah.
You know, hence when I listen to your song, I want to know more about what you're doing. I want to know more who you are, because you're a storyteller and you're telling your story through the music.
Thank you so much. That means a lot that you said that, because that's what I hope people hear. I really appreciate it.
So why Country Swampy? I mean, is it something that chose you, or did you choose it? I mean, I love the swampy soul. I mean, it's a great.
it is absolutely something that chose me. Let me tell you, I fought it like the devil, because I am from Georgia. I'm from South Georgia. My parents' families were farmers, very rural. And when I was a kid, they would take us to the farm, and we'd have to go work. It would teach us values, I guess, and, mm-hmm. and all these things. And I remember I just didn't like it. I idolized big city living, you know, and so for me it was, I took it for granted, the tradition that I grew up in. And so when I was singing on my own, and even as a kid, I was kind of playing out and singing at a lot of different coffee shops and clubs and churches even, and just, you know, everywhere I could. But when I did, I wanted to sing anything but Southern sounding music. I didn't want anything to do with country music, mm-hmm. nothing. And my favorite was soul music.
Yeah.
But there was one day that I realized that my soul music that I liked the most, which was, I really loved Ray Charles. I loved Mahalia Jackson. Mm-hmm. I loved Gladys Knight.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these people that I listened to were had a huge connection to the South if they weren't actually just born there themselves. Like, to the point that Ray Charles is actually in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that I could be who I am. I can be that the Southern person that had all these experiences, but I can also be that soul lover that I am too. And so when I first got, I moved to Nashville in 2005. And when I first got here, I was like, I'm an R&B singer. Mm-hmm. I'm R&B. I am going to New York one day. That was the goal. And the more I did it, the more my teachers would say, girl, you got a twang. You need to quit. Like, quit singing this R&B song with all this twang. And in my head, I was like, okay. So I tried to correct that, but I didn't have as much fun as whenever I let it just be what it was.
Yeah, you can't deny yourself. You know, that would be denying
right.
who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, then the next problem that came up was, okay, Southern soul music. Who the heck is doing Southern soul music now? And there was not a category in, like, the big radio things that I had heard that I was supposed to be.
Right.
At that point in time, too, I had more connections in the country music world, and I wanted to fit into that world because that would have made my life so much easier to just come out like a Carrie Underwood and just, you know, wear a pretty dress and there you go. And but it was very obvious that was not in the cards for me, because it didn't fit my values and who I was.
Right.
And yeah, so basically I had to at some point get brave enough to go, there may not be a top 40 station playing music like this, but this is me. This is all it doesn't, I'm not going to be more genuine than this, so I might as well do it.
Well, you know, that's the point, though. It's that you're in discovery yourself. You know, and here
yeah.
at Self-Discovery Radio, that's what we celebrate, is people who are in discovery of self and find out, you mm-hmm. know, who they are, what they become, stepping into the authenticity, because now you're stepping also into the service of humanity through that authenticity. And, you know, I ran into the same thing with the
yeah.
radio station. Your show should be shorter. And I went, no, I'm here to tell someone's story. And if I'm only going to give them 10 minutes, I'm not being very respectful. I want the whole of them to come out in a comfortable place. And if I'm not going to be the top 10 radio station, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm here for the people who are ready to hear and listen to these stories and understand the wisdom that they're going to learn. So by you being true to who you are, owning it, being authentic, you may not have, you know, as I said, the Carrie Underwood following, but what you will have
yeah.
is true followers that you're speaking to. Mm. You know, right down to the heart and the soul. And in the end, that's really the audience you want.
That, thank you for saying that. It just feels, it's something that I feel like my spirit knows, but whenever I hear someone else say it to me, it feels really, really good. And it's really cool to hear about your, a little bit into your story too, with the Self-Discovery Radio. When I read about your station, I immediately clicked with it. I identified with it, and I'm like, oh, these are my people. So it's really neat. When you live in your truth, you find, you come upon your people. And really, I think that's what we're looking for more than anything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, life is about connection. You know, we wonder, it's not about identification in a sense of, you know, putting you in a nice little box or a nice little drawer, you know, category. You know, it's being that free spirit. It's being that flowing energy. It is that, again, back to the word invitation, to be more, to explore more, you know, to invite more. And, you know, I think that when we put limitations on ourselves by the dictation of what somebody wants you to be, as opposed to who you are, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Yes.
Absolutely. So as you said, you know, you can't deny your voice. You can't deny what you're singing for. All you've done is kind of explore your avenues. And, you know, as I said, I think the reason why, you know, I really loved your song is because I could feel the authenticity in it. You know, there was so much in there that kind of spoke to me. And when, you know, I watched a lot of these, you know, singing shows, and I loved The Voice. And, you know, you get people that come out that sing technically, beautifully, flawless, but there isn't a connection. Because when they come out and they sing from the heart, with their soul, to embrace your spirit, that connection, whether they're the best singer there or not, is the truth. And that's what invites people to listen.
Absolutely. I've always said that, felt that way when it came to, so I majored in music in college, and one of the things that would happen in my program was it was quite competitive, because it felt like there are only like 2 slots and 8,000 kids trying to make it in those 2 slots. And one of the ways that they would climb the ladder would be to sing as many riffs as possible, vocal riffs. So it's just And the faster someone could be, the higher up in the social ranking or promise their observed promise of being a famous music artist would be. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time one of our students was on, there was a bunch of students I went to school with that were on some of the singing shows, but one of them in particular this particular person was amazing, like, an incredible singer, and it, when they got on television, it was about the runs, and it was about impressing people with the high note instead of bearing their soul. Yeah. And then it was like, oh no, this is not what you normally sound like to me. This is a different thing. Oh no. And like, I think we all, the fear gets in there as a singer.
Yeah.
And then we drop everything that makes us the human, because we're afraid to show that part. We think that's the part that's going to make us lose who we really are.
I call it living by life's expectations. You know, there are people out there that dictate that you should be X, Y, and Z. And it's for them. It's not for you. It's to serve them. And I think one of the biggest battles we have as human beings is being honest and authentic to ourselves, and that being enough. And when we do step into that, I'm enough with who I am and what I represent. If I'm not enough for you, therefore there isn't a connection. Next. And we bend over backwards to please somebody, and we lose ourselves along the way. And, you know, then waste all this time journeying back, you know? So it's be true to who you are, and the people that will love you for who you are will be there. The moment you have to sacrifice yourself and bend to somebody else's will, you've just lost everything you stand for.
Absolutely. Well said. You just kind of you basically said my life in 2 sentences.
Well, it's a very volatile business, isn't it? Because, you know,
absolutely.
Anything to do with the arts is, whether you're an actress, a performer, you know, singer, a writer, or whatever. There's so much competition, as you said, out there. There are so many people where, you know, they're just looking for the next cookie, you know, that they can promote, and once they've crumbled onto the next, they're not looking for that longevity artist. They're not looking to really nurture somebody into long-term career, which is short-sighted of them, but, you know, that's the way it is. And it really comes down to finding that producer that is going to see who you are and what you stand for and nurture it into a steady growth. Did you find such a person?
That is a wonderful question. And yes, I did, a resounding yes. And it was an interesting experience getting there. But it's hard because you have to find someone who's your kindred spirit, you know, that's a process in and of itself, just finding a friend like that, much less somebody who's going to understand your music well. And it's a guy named Nielsen Hubbard, and he lives here in Nashville, and he is not a country producer. He has done production for a lot of Americana artists. I guess Matthew Perriman Jones is one. He did a little bit of engineering with Jason Isbell. Do you know, he's kind of gotten bigger over the years, but there's a few other ones. And what I love about him, though, is I told him, because when people see me and as a woman in the music industry, they make a lot of assumptions about what I would want. I'm trying to explain how to say this without getting too nerdy music like, but it's a lot of women, when men producers see them, they see clean, pretty,
spunky,
mild, meek. <Yeah. laughs> And I'm like stomping in there going, I need it as nasty and as messy and as swampy as possible. And I need to be able to
get down and dirty.
Yes. I'm writing about not very pretty things all the time. I need it to match that, and I need it to match my life experiences. And they weren't exactly all
pristine,
pretty flower dresses and traipsing around in a field. You know, that wasn't what happened to me. And he said, okay, what about this? He played me a few things, and he said, what about this idea? And I was like, yeah, that could work. And then he said, okay, what if we all recorded at the same time? Which nowadays doesn't happen a lot. Nowadays people will layer when they produce, and it takes forever, but they'll layer, they'll start with the drums, then the bass, then the guitar, and they layer things on one at a time. But in order to get a more gritty feel or a live feel, we had everybody playing and singing at the same time, and we just did like literally like two or three takes of each one. Then we went back and we may have added a couple little things like a church bell gong thing or a background vocal, that sort of thing. But for the most part, all of it was cut very, very quickly and very raw. And I couldn't be prouder that I chose this producer and that he chose to do that with my stuff, because it was like, yeah, that's it. That's me. That's me right there.
And that's how it used to be. You know, the whole band scrunched into this tiny little room recording, right? And then, as you said, the kind of adjustments were going on. And, you know, I think one of the most disappointing things is that you hear somebody's song and then you see them live. And it's like, who the hell are they? You know? But when you've got somebody that you know that they've recorded, you know, right there, you know, then you actually know that's real. That's real.
Mm-hmm. You're playing off of each other. And I believe in energy and everything is energy. And the more energy and positive energy you can put into something, the more positively it will be received. And when you have everybody playing off of each other and reading each other and supporting each other playing together, you're going to have a more authentic and positive product. That's my belief. I mean, a lot of people would disagree with me on that, and that's okay too, because there's a lot of ways. In the South, we say there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, which is a really terrible phrase. But
it is a terrible phrase, and we need to change that one.
Isn't it the worst phrase ever?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But you know, I totally get what you're saying. Is that, you know, my mum was an actress, and she was asked to do radio. And she hated it because she had no audience to interact with. So I used to go into the studio with her and mime a reaction so that she had an audience, right? So, you know, it's like taking the singer, and then on another stage is the drummer, and another stage is the other. Is, you know, you need the audience's energy, because no performance is ever exactly the same, is it? Because it's up to the energy of the audience and what they're feeding you as to what you're going to feed them, and vice versa. And that
ain't
everybody's
that
bringing
a
different energy for a different reason, each city, each time you play. So there's really no time that any song sounds exactly alike, which is great.
Yeah. Yes, yes. That's how I like it too. Ugh.
And really, we've got to go back to, you know, what is music? And music is energy that does, you know, it infiltrates you on every level, and every cellular level. It can speak to your pain, to your joy. It can speak to your dreams and your hopes, to loss, to gain. It can speak to you in every way. And it can't do that if it's not allowed to go in on those various levels.
Ooh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what music do you listen to kind of inspires you?
Oh my goodness, so many. Currently, you know what's funny about me is I listen to so many different genres and so many different things, because I'm looking for the song itself. And if the song is beautiful, the trappings around it kind of can come hither or thither, but I listen right now, actually, in my spare time, I've been listening to a lot of chants, which is really strange, but like Native American chants, Gregorian chants, things like that. I've been, they really calm me a lot, so I've been listening to that. But some of my like go-tos that I have probably been the most influenced by are old soul artists like Gladys Knight and Mahalia Jackson. A jazz singer, my favorite jazz singer is Billie Holiday, or Lena Horne, two of my favorites.
I named a dog after her.
Oh,
I love Lena Horne.
She's the best. Oh, my gosh. Some of the newer ones that I really, really like are, or I guess newer than Lena, would be Sheryl Crow.
Oh, yes.
Or Bonnie Raitt. Patti Griffin is incredible. Incredible. And then the more pop ones that I really like right now would be, I really actually like Ed Sheeran a good bit, or One Republic. The guy, the lead singer in that band, is an amazing songwriter who writes some pretty genuine music, especially for the market that he's in, and I really like it. So, yeah.
And, you know, you've hit quite a few nails there. I mean, I, you know, Gladys Knight's my era. You know, the 70s is my music. And Memories, her Memories, is one of my songs, you know. Midnight Train to Georgia, you know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, she's got that kind of sultry twang that you talked about.
Yes,
in the voice, and the way she stretches everything out. She makes you feel the music when she sings. She moves into it slowly. She moves into it in a groove and in a sensuality, in a way that is really
wonderful. She's not trying
to
prove.
Right.
Yeah. She's not trying to prove anything. She allows space.
Yes.
That's what I like in a singer. It's someone who's not trying to, it's almost just like, nah, you know, just kind of sing a little bit here and there. And they have nothing to prove. They just—it's just ease.
They are. They just are. You know, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, I love the old Motown, you know, singers, etc.
Yeah.
I have a gentleman, you know, coming on the week before you, and it's Gerald Albright, and he's a saxophonist, and he's been around, you know, the last 30, 35 years, and played with some of the greats, and you know, you know that saxophone music. I call it saxophone music. You know, it's you know, it just completely kind of gets you in that groove. Yes. You know, and you know, it, a lot of the time, what happens is you have a great singer, and people forget the people behind you. And if you Absolutely. Didn't have great, you know, drummers, guitarists, and everything else behind you, you wouldn't sound the way you do. As you said, that connection, that groove, that energy. And, you know, this is, I kind of miss the bands, because you had the lead singer, but you, everybody in the band had an identity. And now today, you've got people that all you know is the lead singer, and you wouldn't know who the people are in the background at all.
That is so true. My husband and I, we do a lot of shows together. We do acoustic shows a good bit of time. But one of the things that was the coolest to me was we played a few shows in Wisconsin, and one of the producers of the show that we were on sent us an email that was really kind about saying, hey, I was actually watching the way Bradley, my husband, the way he played. And it was really, really good. And I'm a bigger fan of him now. And I, you know, and people who notice that make me happy too, because when there is good musicians, when there are good musicians there, it's not even a supporting role. It's like a hug.
it's the foundation from which you spring from. Is, you know, I'm going back to the voice.
Absolutely.
The band and the voice are absolutely exceptional. And
you
know, I know that Gerald Albright actually did play on American Idol for a while, and you know, seeing the amount of songs had to do in a week, etc. But you know, I'm going to the voice because you know you have that band there. When they get a singer that plays, that sings along and plays with them, you know, the voice is the instrument and they're part of the band.
Yeah.
Right? And then you, and then the band's music comes out, and you're not looking at a performer, you're looking at the performance.
Right? Yeah. Ooh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, as an audience, that is so much more inviting. So much more inviting. Because you kind of feel that you've been invited to the whole party and not just the teaser.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's so much more. I think the look of, you know, an appearance of a live show is part of it. I mean, that's a reality, like how a show appears. But when it has kind of slowly become all of it in a lot of ways. And when someone is more understated, and not understated like, You cannot have stage presence, or you can't have, you can't be bold, and you can't be you. But when somebody is collective instead of just look at me, I feel like an audience can feel it. Even if they don't have words and they don't understand that that's what's happening, they can tell.
I
think it's more lasting when someone is collective and bringing others in, including the band, including the people around them, and seeing them, than going, look at me.
They hear you better because of that collective energy. You know, you do stand out more because of the harmony that collective energy brings. You know, we talk about canned music. Well, when you're playing with a group, and you're playing off each other, and you're singing, and they are your building blocks. So that voice can, you know, that musical instrument for your voice can really, you know, transcend. You know, it's, you're getting the whole package there, and there's nothing canned about it at all. You're feeling the music as opposed to just listening to it.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So, and I'm trying to kind of think of other people that might be swampy, especially I think from my era. Because, you know, I lived in South Africa during the 70s, but the music I listened to was, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire, Blood, Sweat and Tears, and, you know, The Doors and things like that. And like Blood, Sweat and Tears, you know, God Bless the Child, you know, and that was kind of down and dirty, kind of the way he sang it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of music that is, you can feel it's the heart is the voice.
Yeah.
You know, and that. And I think I like music that gets stretched out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I really like the bending of instruments and hearing the noises of the instruments too, that aren't just a pretty straight note, but all the little nuances of changing from one chord to another.
Yeah.
Of that stuff, keep it in to me. It's like, let it bend, let it kind of make a squeak, you know. That stuff is real. That stuff feels like you can, that stuff is a sensory thing to me. Like, you can imagine more, you can feel more.
Well, when you're watching, you know, a band play or a singer sing in the band, they're all pulling funny faces, you know, and suddenly the bodies are stretching this way and the shoulders are going that way, and it's like contortionists, and it's like, you know, they're feeling every note, you know, and they're into that groove, and it's, you know, that actually kind of invites you even more into it because you know they're feeling it.
Yeah.
Totally. You're talking about chimes and things like this. And we recently had a show on For the Love of Music with a gong master, Paul Bissonnet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the gong music, oh my God, it's one of those things that we go back to tone. It's like a wavelength as those tones go and those wavelengths just start coming into your body and kind of hitting you on a cellular level and going down into the deep, deep depths of you.
Mm.
And it really transcends you completely. And kind of integrating that into, you know, more current music, I would love to see.
Yes, absolutely. That is the next phase of everything. I think the whole world is going to shift into awareness of things like that more. Because I think there's a small movement starting, in my opinion, that's always been there with sound healing, but I think that it seems to be growing more interest. But that idea, the idea of music as healing and then kind of creating music from that place would be something that would be so beneficial for the world to me. And I think, like, I even had read an article recently about how they're using sound now, like sound waves, to, like, they'll press against the skin for different ailments and things because the vibrations themselves will heal the body, and they're doing a lot of research on it and stuff. But it just, it's the coolest thing. If they added that more, if we added the gongs and the singing bowls and stuff to our modern music and accepted it more, I think it would just do us a whole lot of good.
I completely agree. I've done a number of shows on kind of quantum energy and energy healing and sound energy and even art healing. And, you know, we have to get away from thinking that a pharmaceutical drug is going to heal us all the time. There are so many other modalities out there. And, they're very natural. You've got to find the one that speaks to you. I love walking along an avenue of trees in the wind and the rustle of the leaves. And the music and the conversation that they're having with you, it is so, you know, it is so tranquilizing, and you feel that you're being heard and they're responding back to you. There's a beautiful movie called August Rush. I don't know if you remember it, 2006 or 7, where he literally takes the sounds of everything, nature, the city, everything, and composes it. And I think this is something we have to bear in mind, that music is in us. It is us. We are musical creatures, and some people like yourself are able to take that and platform it into a way that reaches people at greater heights. But the more we step into the tone and the rhythm of life, the easier life is going to be for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, the rhythm part. Oh my goodness. Well, that in and of itself, I mean,
it's life is rhythm, isn't it? Life is rhythm.
Yes. It's in every way.
So what, when you're composing a song or when you're writing a song, you're getting into it, is there a basic practice that you do, or is it just kind of start playing, start singing, start doing it and letting it evolve on its own?
Oh man, that's a great question. Usually for me, it starts with an idea that comes from all sorts of places. A lot of times it's whenever I'm really chill and I'm fiddling with something else. So whether it's I'm driving or I'm making jewelry or I am walking through the grocery store where my brain is doing something that's not very difficult to do, but it's distracted enough that ideas can come in and out on a subconscious level. And from there, I'll go, oh, and I'll catch one and I'll say, oh, hey, I kind of like that one. And I'll write it down. And then from there comes, for me, comes the discipline part, which is because I do that with a lot of different things. Songs as well, like melodies will come in my head but a similar way. And I record everything, and it's almost like a vision board of just snippets of crazy in my phone. And then I kind of piece together, and then I create chords around it, and I create, I see how to paint the picture. And that's where the discipline comes in a lot, is where, because that's when the mean voices for me will come in and try to say, that's wrong, that's bad, that's not good. And then at that point, it's something I want to get better at, which is, you know, not being so hard on myself and during that part of the process. It's also, I accept that it's there too, you know, and I still want to have this song done because I feel so alive and settled at the same time when I finish a song that motivates me to get it done. But it starts with the idea usually.
And you know, that critical side of you plays its part as long as it doesn't become dominant, because it requires you to seek, you know, that your own personal perfection of the song, being honest with it. So sometimes that criticism is good to listen to as long as you don't give it a platform, because then it will take over.
Right. Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to have, like, just be mad at it all the time.
It's like a friend saying, don't wear that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But at Absolutely. The same time saying, you know, piss off, I'm going to.
Right. Which I've done a few times.
So it's knowing when to listen and when to stand up for what you want, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's an art form in and of itself.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's the life challenge there for everybody, yeah. So you've got a new album coming out, a new album being released. Tell us about this new album, what we're going to expect from it.
Oh, I do have a new album, and I hope that people gain a look into, I hope they gain stories. I hope they gain interest. I hope they listen to it with intrigue. I hope that they listen to it with a feeling of me too. I hope they hear I'm not the only one. It's called Like the Sun, which is a line in one of my songs called In the Morning. And the line goes, like the sun, I rise. And that kind of encapsulates the story of this album, what I hope people get out of it, which is hard stuff happens and hardship is unavoidable, and like the sun I rise, baby. Like, that's what I want them to say. I want to feel empowered. I want people to feel that they have something to groove to and also have something to weep to.
And, you know, that's where we're at right now. It's a perfect song for a perfect time.
All right.
You know, one of my anthems of being is Andrea Day's Rise Up, for that very message. Mm-hmm. It's not rising up in arms. It's rising up locked in arms, you know, arm in
Absolutely.
Arm.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you say, you know, the sun, doesn't matter what we do to the world. It doesn't matter what we do to each other. That sun is going to rise every day. It's an opportunity for a new day to do things differently, to embrace a different energy, to be different. And I think that's what we need right now is, you know, not hand ourselves over and abstain from any empowerment, is to empower ourselves with our own choices that serves us and humanity. So definitely an album that's needed right now, anytime, but even more so now.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's really, really cool. I didn't even think about it that way.
Believe me, the amount of shows I've done, yes, we need to think about it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it comes through, it doesn't matter what story you have, whether you're in the politics or in the anything else, is that everybody, as you said, has heartache. Everybody has that crossroads in life. Everybody has the pain and the joy. And it's how we deal with it, isn't it? It's how we look at it. How we get back up from it.
Yeah.
And if you've got, an album there that speaks to that, you could put 12 people in a room listening to the same song and each one of them will tell a different way they've received it.
Yes.
Right, and that's the beauty of it.
That is so true.
That's the beauty of
yes.
it. So
yes.
It's not like this is one little block and you're going to fit into that. My story is your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. That's absolutely right. And, you know, one of the things that I hope that, and what I would love to see in my idealistic brain is in the South, one of the trends that I've seen or the traditions that I've seen is something, a phrase called, hide your crazy, where if you have hurt, if you have pain, you sweep that stuff under and you don't deal with it. You don't show it, let it fester. And my desire was to do the opposite of that and go, come on, it's okay. It's not that scary. It's actually a lot better on this side. Like, yeah. It's, That would be my plea or my hope for my culture that I came up in. And I bet, I have a feeling, even subconsciously, that's what was going on with a lot of my writings in this album.
And, you took it, brush it under the rug, very much of a British thing, do not air your dirty laundry, and it's like,
yeah.
We know what happens when you keep your dirty laundry underneath that rug, there's a pile of stuff there now that you've got to deal with, and is that, we've got to stop feeling ashamed, we've got to stop feeling that we've done something wrong, or that we're guilty, life happens, shit happens, it's how we deal with it, how we grow from it, that is important.
Yeah.
And, that, I think the true empowerment, because I'm a spiritual counselor, so the true empowerment is embracing all of the obstacles, all of the challenges, everything that you've had to face in life, and coming out on top, coming out triumphantly in your courage, discovering how awesome you really are and what you really are contributing to the world. And you can only do that if you're willing to take the journey. And song is such a wonderful way of putting you on that path.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I mean, musicians are the poets.
Yeah.
Right? You're speaking to what's going on in our day. You're speaking to what's going on in our lives. By sharing yours, you're speaking to us. Mm. And you're giving everybody else the permission to tell their own story.
That hits hard for me, for sure. That would be the neatest thing in the world, is to help people feel permission to be who they are.
And we know that the power of song can do that, because again, music, music, no matter what it is, whether you're into classical or swamp or whatever you're into, and also different kind of music is going to speak to you at different times in your life, at different needs. As you said, you've transcended quite a bit with your music, this is where you're at right now, but in the next few years you may take a direction and speak in a different tone, in a different language. And that's the beauty of it, because it represents where you are right now, but it allows you now to take the next stage, the next chapter in your book.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So you've got this album coming out. How are people going to find it?
Oh, great question. So on March 24th, it releases everywhere. But they will be able to find it on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, search Jesse Smith, Like the Sun, or just Jesse Smith, and it should pop up. Before that, though, next week sometime, actually, but I haven't released the date yet, but I am releasing a pre-order, so people can come to my website and pre-order the album. Also, you can find all the information the easiest by joining one of my social media networks. So on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you can find me at my handle, which is Jesse Sings Whoa, W-H-O-A. And there's a lot of Jesse Smiths in the world, so I had to get a little creative.
Right, yeah. It should have been Jesse Sings Swamp. That would have got the attention.
Yeah, oh right. Man, hindsight, right? Come on. Okay, so there, if you find, that's the easiest way, and then because I'm doing a lot of updates about when it's coming out or any freebies that are coming out, or I'm doing some free giveaways for it. And then you can also hear about where I'm coming to play and that sort of thing. And if anybody doesn't like doing that, you just go to jessesmithmusic.com and it'll tell you everything.
Right. Right. And, you know, give you a sample of your other music, which of course we here have on the blog, and we're obviously going to close out with one of your new numbers from your album, and it'll be a surprise as to what it is. And you know, and it's like, as I said, there's different music for different moods, and, you know, kind of putting on your music, it's, you know, it's going to speak to that mood. It's going to uplift. It's going to let you cry. It's going to let you express. You know, that's the whole thing about it. It's music helps you spend an emotion that cannot be trapped inside of you, and you have to release it. And through a great song and great music, it becomes that release.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautifully said. Again, awesome.
Now, you're also on SoundCloud at Jesse Sings.
I
Woho.
Am. Yes, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I sure am.
And so people
can hear it for free.
Right, exactly. You can't download it, but you can hear it. And of course, you're on Spotify Artist as well. So
yes.
That is there too, which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting yourself out there, obviously, as much as possible, which is really, really important. But, you know, and it's also for people who, you know, say, you know, I'm not really into country, or I'm not really into that. It's like, well, don't look at her being as a particular genre. You know, she's Jessie.
Mm-hmm.
This is her music, you know, and tune in and let it speak to you. Because as I said, I'm not into the heavy country. It's not my kind of music, because I'm probably more funk. But, you know, I got that. I got that soul funk from you. You know, it's in there. And I think it was Twitter that I heard your song when I reached out.
Yes, it sure was.
You know, and that's the thing about life is share it. I've just heard this great song. Share it with people, because you're not just helping you to get your music out there, but you're giving somebody a good feeling. Pass the song on. Make somebody else's day. Let them have a song that's going to uplift them or speak to them at that moment. And we share blogs and we share pictures, but why aren't we sharing music with each other on social media?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes, every share helps more than, you know, I mean, more than people realize.
Exactly. And, you know, if we know exactly the music industry is massive, and the reason it's massive because it is a language of expression. It speaks to our times. And, you know, you look at, you know, the 80s music and the 90s music, and of course I look at it and go, what went wrong? Because I'm kind of the 60s and 70s music. But each decade kind of speaks to what's happening in that decade, and that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, the 70s is my era, and you know, for you, obviously, I think it would be the 2000s. Is, you know, your era.
Yeah.
And and it will speak, it will tell your journey. You go back to your first song to now, and you'll hear a different journey all along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. That's really awesome.
So it's Swampy Music.
Yes.
Getting deep down and dirty. And then rising like
right.
the sun.
That's right.
And, you know, it's, as you said, you know, like, you've got the singers that are all pretty and pristine and squeaky clean. And then, you know, then the image is that. But then when you find out about them, you know, they're getting down and dirty in a different way, girl.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
And it's false advertising. So it's it's step up and be who you are. And, you know, never apologize for it. And never assume that you don't have a market. Because when you are in your authentic self and doing you, that you're going to invite those people to you. They're looking for you too, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That, and this is a testament right here, being blessed with being able to speak with you and be interviewed by you. It was such a pleasure for me to see someone with the values you have and the work you're going for being who resonated with my music, because that really felt good to me. It felt like, oh wow, this is what happens when you're genuine. Like, yes. This is the love comes to you.
Yeah.
Like that's really, really cool. I appreciate it a lot.
A lot of artists are going in for the fame, the money, the glory. And, you know, we call them bubblegum yes. artists. They're there for the length of time of the bubblegum and they're gone. You know, a lot of them yeah. rise too quickly. They're used up by the industry and then spat out and on to the next. And
yes.
if you truly yep. are a true artist, you must always explore your art, always allow your art to grow, but always look to what is your soul's foundation. What is your core? And make sure that mm-hmm. your core is never put in jeopardy.
Yes. You know what's funny is I think it's easy to run the risk of becoming a McDonald's mm-hmm. of music instead
yeah.
of the local farm to table like experience of music. It's very easy to say, but McDonald's would make me money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like McDonald's, they got the drive through with the people line out the door.
Yeah,
and but then if you stick with it, the farm to table has such a stronger experience for people.
And you know, you're independent, so you have more control, and to be honest on who you
yes.
are, as opposed to being manufactured. And we know who are the manufactured
yeah.
artists. You know, they're just being churned out.
Yeah,
and they may have a cute little beat, and then you've forgotten who they are. You know, it's why do we still talk about Stevie Wonder? Why do we still talk about, Michael Jackson? Why do we still talk
Aretha.
About, you know, Will Lenise and Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight?
Yes.
Why are they still there? Because their music is still there. They are still those
timeless.
Artists, those
yeah.
performers that speaks to all generations. And as an artist,
mm-hmm.
that's really what you want, isn't it? That your music can be a statement of your times long after you're gone or many decades from now.
Mm, yes, absolutely.
So
that's
I encourage
beautiful.
People to come and listen to your music, listen to your story in the music, and
thank
you know
you.
Have it resonate with themselves, you know, see themselves in it, because that's what it's all about. And kind of, you know, go and play in the swamp with you a little bit and see how much fun it is.
Yes, absolutely. Come join me.
And, you know, kind of when you're talking about McDonald's and farm to table, you know, I call it organic. And, you know,
yeah,
I call
yeah.
these shows organic because we are just letting ourselves out however way we
yes.
can.
Yes.
And,
and,
you know, that's why the audience that listens to this like it, because they know they're getting our honesty, our truth, you know.
Yes.
And when you play
yes.
your music and you sing like that, you know, it's, your audience may not be the McDonald's, but the audience will be the domino effect of longevity because of the fact
mm-hmm.
of that authenticity. And, you know, that if you really are looking at what riches are, that's it, is it. The enrichment of your music moving people's lives.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So closing out, love, what would you like to say to the audience?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. I have so many things. The biggest one, I guess, is find me at jessiesmithmusic.com, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Please, what I love more than anything else in the world is connecting to people and good conversations with people. And so I hope that my audience knows that I don't necessarily consider you fans as much as contributors and co-conspirers, and I want to have genuine conversations with you, and I want to support you in your life too, and so never feel afraid to reach out, never feel weird about it, because that's my favorite thing in the world, is having conversations with people.
And of course, they can contact you at info@jessiesmithmusic.com. And so, you know, they, you know, you would love to hear from them about what a song has done for them. You know, how it's...
Oh, my gosh.
What it's done to their story, how it's expressed their story. Because, you know, as an artist, it not only says that, you know, people are hearing what you're saying, they're sharing what you're saying.
Mm.
And, you know, that story shared, right, is the most powerful thing. So... contact her at info@jessiesmithmusic.com and let her know what the song has done for you. Well, we're going to close out with a song for people to listen to. Are you going to tell us which one?
I am going to tell you in a minute because it is on an email that I'm about to send you.
Okay. So we've got a surprise coming for you, folks.
And, a surprise!
Tune in. This is a taste of what is to come in her next album. And, you know, I know once you start listening to the one, you're going to want to listen to the whole. So, you know, go and pre-book her album. At jessiesmithmusic.com and also at the Facebook Jessie Sings at WHOA, and you know, pre-book the album because I know it's going to move you as much as it moved me. So Jessie, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
It was a delight, pure delight, and I look forward to the music to come from you for many years.
Thank you.
And to everyone else, remember, music can really get into you on so many levels and help you express what you're feeling, help you spend that emotion so that you can move on. You're not alone. Just listen to a song and you know somebody else has been there before you and with you. Until next time, folks. Yeah.